Hello, everyone. Welcome to What's Your Story. Welcome back from the very long break, the break that looked as if it was never going to come to an end. But we are back. So, welcome to season three once again. Our guest to launch us into season three is Jemima Owusu-Echampoma. Jemima is a development assistant with STEM eGroup and a young HND graduate from Accra Technical University with so much passion for engineering. She believes engineering is like choosing your own adventure book. Jemima went straight to read engineering with no background in science. So you can imagine she's a very strong woman. So today, Jemima is going to take us through her story to let us know how she's made it this far. Thank you. Thank you, Jemima, for being with us
Thank
today.
you for having me. So grateful to be here. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you today. So let's zoom into action then.
Okay.
Could you help us with what program you read for your undergraduate studies at Accra Technical University?
Okay, so I did higher national diploma in Accra Technical University, and I did electrical and electronic engineering, but I majored in telecommunication. So with Accra Technical University, when you are studying electrical engineering and you get to your final year, you are to major in one. So we have the control system, the telecommunication, and the power system. And I chose the telecommunication because I love communication of lines, transmission of lines. So I stick to telecommunication. But now I'm doing my Bachelor of Technology, and with that, I'm going to major in power systems.
So why that interest? Why the interest in power systems?
Okay, so with my life now, I love generation of power. I really do now. I had an internship with one power generation company. And when I got there, the whole experience changed my whole mind about telecommunication. Why don't I just major in power system? The thing is, when you're in school, you feel power system is hard, it's difficult, it's I don't know. But when I got to the industry and they gave me the introduction to power system, I feel no, I can do this thing too. Once I've done telecom, I can do this. Let me just major in this. And generation of power is interesting. It's very interesting. It looks like that cuts across the whole electrical engineering program for control system, for telecommunication. You have a bit of idea of everything. But when you just do telecommunication, it's like you're just limited to telecommunication. But with power system, you have an idea of everything, of all the three courses under electrical and electronics engineering.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So could you give us a brief of what you did for your national service? What was your role? Where did you have your national service? And what are you currently doing?
Okay. So with national service, national service, it was really an interesting one. And I am very, very, very grateful I did it with Soko Area Robotics. So I did my national service with Soko Area Robotics, and there I was a STEM coordinator. So there was a program we're about to run. I don't know now if they are running it, but I hope they are. So in that program, I was going to be the lead factor. So for STEM coordination, I have to coordinate all STEM programs. Have to take in the students, have to go around and then look for students here and there to join the program. So I was a STEM coordinator there. And the funny thing is I didn't just do that. I wasn't just a STEM coordinator. I was also a mentor for an intern. So he was my mentee. And this was a young boy who came back from JHS and had no idea about science. Anytime I'm talking about him, I'm so proud that, I don't know. And he came into the field and he started from scratch. And to be very honest with you, now he programs. And even me, myself, I can't program, but he programs.
Wow.
So, and he's called Selassie. I always try to get back to him, to hear from him, how he's doing and everything. Selassie has done so well. He has done so, so well. And he makes me so proud. I am very proud that I was able to mentor him. I wasn't the only one, though. We were other people. But since I was the STEM coordinator, he was under my field. Yes.
Yeah.
I had to supervise and make sure everything was put in place. And you know one thing about me, I wouldn't say I'm not the office girl, because I mean, office girl also looks good on me, but I am the hands-on person. I like to create things. I like to do things with my hand. So I was in the office one day and I was like, okay, with Sokoe, we are robotics. We're doing drones. We're doing AI and all the advanced technologies. When you go to Sokoe, we are, you get them. So we had drones that, if you come there, they'll teach you how to pilot with the drones. So you'll be a drone pilot. And with Selassie, he always wanted to do everything, because I'm like that. So I don't know if he got that from me. I always like to do everything. So Selassie also wanted to do everything. He wanted to try everything. Whatever was happening there, he wanted to. So I was like, look, our drones can't be given to this boy because he's young. And then he has no idea about it. And when a drone crashes, it's very expensive. So I was like, let me just go to the lab and do something for this boy. So there were other boys in the lab, and we try and build drones with styrofoams. So I also went to the lab. And so I left the office and I went to the lab. And I decided to design a small drone, but I named the Chiches 1P. Chiches is, I don't know, I don't know how to put it, but my personality is some way. So I had friends who used to call me Chiches, and I named my drone that, and I added a 1P to it because it was my first project. So the 1P means first project. So I named the drone Chiches 1P for Selassie. He was the reason why I tried to build that drone, so that he'll use it for training and other things. So if other people come to the company, they can also use the styrofoam drone I made for training. So I did that, and it was moving in the air. It was moving in the sky, actually. I was very happy. I even got featured in one of these magazines for that.
Wow.
Yes, in one Germany magazine like that. They were also talking about empowering women. So my then boss put it on his LinkedIn, and I got contacted to have a brief talk about my drone. Yeah, so basically that's what I did with Sokoe Area Robotics. And I'm very, very grateful. Anytime a friend wants to do internship, I recommend Sokoe Area Robotics to them.
It's amazing how you were able to identify a problem and then came up with a solution to help everyone. Because for all you know, Selassie is not the only one benefiting from the drone you put together. You know,
yeah.
You are no more there, but the drone is still, let me say, it's still alive.
Yes, okay? It's still alive.
And it's still in use. I'm super proud of you, because I know you to be someone without a science background, okay? Because I know you from Probo Girls. You were not a science student. So
no.
What happened? Like, tell us what happened.
Yeah.
How come you find yourself doing engineering now?
Okay.
How has it been? How has the journey been so far? What are some challenges you faced? And what have been some also up moments for you?
Okay, so with me, engineering, I never saw myself reading engineering. I never did, honestly, because even in school, you know, what they tag the science students as the sharks and all that. And I don't see myself close to that. I mean, you should be honest with yourself. You should be true with yourself. I am not someone who sits behind my books for hours. No, I don't do that. But I feel engineering was introduced to me by my father. And he felt that when you have children, when you have kids, you have to know what they like and what they can do and what they are good at. And he saw that I was good at fixing things. I was good at fidgeting with things. When something is paused in the house, he just put a challenge to me to do it, and then I'm good to go. So he was like, look, you didn't do science anyways, but I still believe you can do engineering. So why don't we try these polytechnics for you to start with them? And amazingly, when I went to Accra Technical University, they didn't want to give me the chance, to be very honest with you. No, I don't know any school who wants to give a general student the chance to do engineering or to read engineering. They all undermine the fact that you didn't read science, so you don't have any physics background, you don't have any chemistry background, you don't have any background at all. And when I went to Accra Technical University, I got interviewed with two lecturers, and they felt, okay, I have been able to explain to them why I want to do it. So looking at my grades, it wasn't that bad. But, you know, engineering, you have to get some single digits to do it. So they gave me the opportunity to read engineering. And beginning was a bit difficult. It was a bit difficult. I didn't have it easy at all. I really didn't have it easy at all. I didn't have it easy at all. But there's always a learning space. There's always a way to learn. I learn in groups. I like to learn. So when I get to school, anytime I get to a school or anytime I start a class, I'm very biased when it comes to that. I look out for the smart students, very smart students, and then I learn with them. So they become my friend. So even to date, my friends always say, I like people who are intelligent. That's not the reason. The reason is I feel I don't know much, so I have to also adjust to those who know. Because you know what they say, birds of the same feathers, I mean, they flock together. So if they are moving here, I move with them. Yeah, they are moving there, I move with them. And it got better. So beginning, my grades weren't that good. But as time kept passing by, I had good grades. Not to my expectation, but they were okay. But now I'm not doing that bad at all. And I'm very, very happy about that. And I also feel some of the challenges I've had so far is the fact that when you're an engineer and you stand out good or you look good, I like to look good because, I mean, you have to always present yourself to be addressed properly. Yeah. And when you're an engineer and you look good, you try to put in all effort to look good, people are like, hey, engineer now, I say, like, they're any engineer. I mean, they say all sorts of things about you. And I'm like, just give me the job. Let me execute the job and go. That's the reason why I'm here. But not to talk about my fashion sense or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is also one of the minor challenges I've faced by far. And the major one is they don't allow you to do the practical things as a woman. They feel the women should be put in the office and... But I mean, you have to know the practical job as well. I can't just do the theories throughout and then when it's time for something to be done, they call the guys to do it. No. I remember I was bound for a job because we were looking for a male. And the reason being that the male is going to do most of the practical things. And I'm like, I can do it also, but I wasn't given the job. But I feel that's a major factor that should be looked upon. And if that is addressed and taken care of, we'll all have a better place. There'll be more women to come.
That's true. I know of Hub Concepts. I know Hub Robotics Club, you started also. So I can see you as someone, just as you said, you like to do everything. All right. and you love to solve problems. Actually, that's who an engineer is, and I'm actually proud you are working on things like that. Could you tell us about Hub Concept and what is your vision for Hub Concept?
Okay, so Hub Concept is basically, I looked at the fact that I was able to mentor a young GHS boy to be able to program. And I am ashamed that I still don't know how to program, but I'm very proud of him that he can program. So I decided to come up with a club. And when I was starting the club, I didn't have any resource. I didn't even know where I was going to start and how I was going to go about it. So I started telling my national service friends, those I had national service with, they've been so helpful that anything I want to start, they are there to support me. So I told two of my friends from my national service, I told them that, look, this is what I want to do, and I had to do something for my community. I was given the chance. Let me also give people the chance as well. In as much as they don't have any technical field or they don't have any engineering background, I feel they can also learn something. So that's how Hub Concept came about. And I'm looking at the fact that it will stay forever. It will be a club that will generate a lot of programmers or a lot of technical people without technical backgrounds or without the science background. So it's a small club that now the venue is my church. So my pastor gave me his venue to start the program. And I started with my Sunday school people, my Sunday school teenagers. It's starting from the age of 10. I'm starting 10 because I feel at 10, when I teach you something, you will practice it. You know, below the age of 10, when you teach them, they don't really put it in practice. But I want people that when I teach them, they'll put it in practice. So that's what Hub Concept is about. And currently we are on break, but we resume, God willing, in October. So we resume again soon. And we need more people to join the club. It's absolutely free. We don't take any money from you. Where you come, I expect that you'll be a serious person. And then, so my mentee will also be there. Selassie will be there to also aid the younger ones for me. That's what Hub Concept is about. We are looking forward to getting funds from people.
That's the difficult part.
Yes. Because now I'm funding it alone and it's not easy, but we'll get there.
Exactly. So I'll use this platform also to solicit for funds, okay? So if you are here and you can help in any way, we would be glad to have you on board. Collaborations, anything, just a platform to assist what Jemima has already started. So Jemima, could you tell us, I know you've already mentioned some challenges you face as a woman in engineering.
Yeah.
But can you just pinpoint, let's say, about two or three more? Because you made us know the fact that as an engineer, you like to look good, and some people have problem and people have issues with that. Mm-hmm. Also, as an engineer, a lady in engineering, they like to keep you in the office rather than being on the field doing the practical stuff. So what are some other challenges you face?
Okay, so those challenges I've not faced them myself, but you know, I have friends also in engineering and they talk about sexual harassment a lot. And I think that shouldn't be an issue as of now, because I mean, sexual harassment, anytime I talk about it, I laugh because I've not experienced it, so I don't know how it is. But they come to me and tell me about their experience. And I'm like, why do they do that? Why is this happening? Why? You know, I don't blame them too. It's a male-dominated field. So hardly do they have women around. So when they have women around, they want to find their ways. And this is a problem. It makes the women uncomfortable to work in an environment like that. I mean, no one likes sexual harassment. No woman does. So it's also a challenge for some women. I've not experienced it myself, but coming from other female colleagues who are engineers, I think it's also a problem to them. And they make the environment uncomfortable for them as well.
Thank you, Jemima. Jemima, how can we help the girls, okay? How can we help more girls like yourself venture into STEM-related fields? Because listening to you, you had a strong support system That was your dad. Your dad believed in you and knew that even though you didn't have a background in science or any STEM-related field, you can still give it a try, okay? And the fact that your lecturers, those two lecturers you mentioned, also believed in you and gave you an opportunity, okay? What can we do for girls to help them?
I think there should be more platforms to empower women. And we should explain to them that it's not a difficult field for them to venture in because if I can remember when we were in school, the way they used to tag the science students, hey, they make you feel less and you always see them, even you yourself, always see you go to the library to go and study. They have less sleep when we, the generous people, are sleeping. They are studying here and there. So I feel girls should also be talked to that. It's not difficult. So you can do whatever it takes to put your mind to. And once you've set your mind that you have to execute this, you can do it. So there should be more platforms to empower them and to talk to them. And there should be more clubs as well. Clubs they can join. Where else? There were clubs like AFS, GUNSA, and you don't have a choice because, I mean, everybody's going for club meetings here and there. You should also go for your club meetings. So it should start from our JHS even. There should be a club like a robotics club where right from the onset you can join. So you already have an idea of what robots is all about, what they do, how they start from scratch, the theory about it, then you go to the practical aspect. From JHS, even from primary, JHS, SHS, I had schools like, so with my club, there are two girls from Ebri Girls and Methodist Girls. And they tell me that they are robotics club in their school that when they go back, they will join. And I think it should be considered. All secondary schools should have robotics club that people can join, like the girls, and then start something. Have ideas about it so that getting to the university, it wouldn't be as difficult as people tell them that it is.
That's true, Jemima. But remember, you know, another major problem is with their funding. Because starting up clubs like this, you need
Yes.
dedicated people, you need a dedicated team, you need funding. Because, you know, even one robotic kit,
Yes,
you
even our
know, so
Latino kids is
you go.
very expensive.
You know, so we need a lot of support when it comes to that. Because both of us find ourselves in similar fields. And personally, too, I'm experiencing an issue like that, like trying to establish a strong STEM club, trying to make my alma mater a STEM hub, okay, where it's situated. So we need a lot of support, a lot of funding, because how far can you get when you are self-funding, you know,
I
looking
know,
at
I
how
know,
expensive
I know. Sometimes you even
these
want to give
things
up because you're like,
are.
most of the things I want for these kids are not easy to come by. They are very expensive. But like I always say, when you put up your mind to something, you should be determined and committed to do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right, dear. And then that brings me to this question. What can we do differently as women in STEM? Okay, because already I know there's a lot of advocacy going on, and no, like trying to develop women in engineering is doing a good job, like going to schools to talk to girls and all that, putting up scholarships and all that. What can we do differently? Because if we've still put all these measures in place and still aren't getting the girls, what can we as women in STEM do differently
Okay, so
from what we
with me, what I did was I started with my church, and when I started the robotics club, I like I always say, I'm always biased when it comes to that. I always look out for people that can easily remember things. So those that have very good, I mean, high IQs. So when I'm teaching you, I look out for students that I can easily grasp. So, I have people in my club that I was able to convince because I realized that they were very good and they didn't, you know what they were all talking about? I want to be a doctor. I want to venture into medicine. I want to do this. And I'm like, why are you people ignoring the engineering courses for the men? Why are you leaving that for the men? So, I spoke to one girl that if she is to venture into engineering, I'm there to help her. I'm there to support her, whatever it is she needs. If she has assignments, she bring it. We'll do it together.
Wow.
One, and she's Fredica. She's in my church, and now she's doing mechanical engineering, and I'm very happy. So I feel that wherever we find ourselves as women in engineering or women in STEM, we should talk to the younger ones, especially those going to the university. We should talk to them. You know, when they hear the advocacy out there, hardly do people even listen to these things. They don't have time to pay attention to them. But when you meet them one-on-one and you talk to them, I feel you can easily convince someone you're talking to them, someone who is listening to a crowd or something. So I start small, and I'm getting people on board. I'm talking to people. I'm using myself as an example for people, for the younger females out there. So I think that as women in engineering, we should also start from our church, our homes, or our offices where we find ourselves. We should talk to our friends, to talk to their kids. It goes like that. So you talk to your friend, who will talk to the child. The child will also talk to her friend. Her friend will also talk to another friend. And like that, we get more people in their field. And we should also let them know that it's not difficult. It's not difficult, but you should just be dedicated and committed to it. It's not difficult at all. And there should be more internship jobs. I always talk about this. You should go for internship jobs. I start with internship because I feel when you go as an intern, they know you don't know it, so they start from scratch. But when you go out there that you're going to look for a job, they believe you know what you are here for and you should be able to do the job. But I always go as an intern and then I get whatever it is I want from you. That way, any question you ask, they are open to help you and they give you everything, every answer you need. And they even want you to come again because in Ghana, you know, people like services that are free. So yes, you go and they teach you whatever it is you want to know. I'm still an intern anyway, and I'm sure I'll be an intern till I'm done with my Bachelor of Technology. That way, when I come out as a full employable person.
Well, I like your, I actually love the approach you are taking, because while in school and all, you're also equipping yourself for the job market.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's one thing we should consider, because we find ourselves in school and we are so rigid thinking about, it's all about making the grade.
Yes.
Okay.
That's
just as you said. Yes, going in for internship jobs, asking lots and lots of questions. Like, there's nothing wrong with asking questions if you don't know something.
Yes.
That's a good approach. Thank you, Jemima.
Thank
now
you.
To this question. Growing up, what was the hardest decision you had to take, you ever had to take growing up?
Yeah. So growing up, this question is very interesting because I would say going with engineering, in as much as I'm now an advocate for engineering, I'll say going with engineering. So growing up is picking engineering, because I was looking at myself as I don't even have the science knowledge to talk of going to do physics purely and do chemistry and what of it. So it was the decision to leave whatever it is I had always wanted to do and to do engineering. And you know what? I would say it's one of the hardest decisions. It was the best decision to date.
Wow.
I don't regret taking that decision. And I am very, very grateful to my father for introducing engineering to me. Very, very grateful. Beginning, it was difficult to go by it, but now, trust me, I will never say anywhere that it was the worst decision ever. It was absolutely the best decision ever. And I'm very, very happy about it.
Thank you, Jemima. So anyone listening, our ladies out there, even our guys, because I know most of my guys also patronize the podcast. They also listen. Okay, so just try something new, okay? just do something extra, do something, just push yourself. Let me put it that way. All right. So finally, remember, what's one practical advice you'd give to ladies out there or anyone listening to this podcast?
Okay. So I think, like I've said earlier, I use the approach of doing internships with other people. And I also feel that even if you are not an engineer, if you are not a STEM person or you are not a STEM student or whatever it is, I think whatever you want to do, you should do it and do it well. And you shouldn't just be in your comfort zone. You should move out of your comfort zone and go out there and ask all the questions you want to ask. Learn all the practical know-how. If you are a human resource student, go out there and go and work as well. Go as an intern, go and ask all your questions so that when you come out great. And one more thing, I also think that our women out there that are doing well, they should also come out so that our younger ones can look at them as role models. They shouldn't be in their corners and not wanting to be out there. Because I know one lady who is very, very good. She's very, very good. She's living in Gambia now. And she's not really out there. People don't know about her like that. But she's doing very well. And she's kind of like my mentor to me. Because she is extremely good. She's very good. And most of the things that I have issues with, I go to her and ask her about it. And she's always like, you can do it. And it's true. You can always do it. So one practical thing is they should, one, go out there and challenge themselves. You should put yourself to a challenge. Okay, by the end of this month, I should be able to learn this. And make sure that at the end of that month, you've done it. The following month, you should tell yourself, this is a new challenge I'm putting before myself. At the end of this month, I should finish it. Just as when we want to buy some dresses, save money for it. We should also put ourselves to that challenge that, okay, by the end of this month, I'm going to learn a new skill, a new soft skill. At the end of that month, please try and do it. Please try and do it. So that is a practical advice I'll leave here, that whatever it is we want to do, we should do it and do it well. We should challenge ourselves. We should go out there and ask all the questions we want to ask. We shouldn't be intimidated by these good boys out there, those sharks and intelligent boys, as we call them. We should also know that we can do what they are doing. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Jemima. So what I've picked from Jemima so far, just one or two sentences, is that just push yourself because you can always do it. You can always do it. Thank you once again, Jemima.
Thank you for having me.
So happy you're welcome there. All right, so Jerry, thank you so much for staying with us for today's edition of What's Your Story podcast. We hope to see you next time, same time. And we promise to have someone interesting and also with an inspiring story, just like Jemima has today. See you in our next podcast. Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much.